about. And you have experienced it in your own life. God's faithfulness is everywhere. God's faithfulness is everywhere. In Psalm 36, verse 5, we read, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." If you will notice, the word heavens is plural to cover all the heavens, the heaven that we call atmosphere that birds fly in and airplanes fly in, the thing that we breathe, the heaven above that where planets and the sun is, and finally the place where God has his throne, that heaven. God is merciful and faithful everywhere. How can we not trust God for everything that we need if we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible speaks of God's faithfulness 19 times. It speaks of being faithful 82 times in 78 verses. Now, I did not count every one of these words, but I have experienced many of the occasions where only God's faithfulness saved the day. I would imagine that every one of you have had God intervene in at least a few times in your life. He's always faithful to his children. Even when things don't go the way that we would like them to go, and you know, it doesn't matter what your pastor or anyone else says, God remains faithful, and we experience his faithfulness as we go through this life. What matters is what God has said. I would like for us to look at some of the verses in the Bible that deal with God being faithful and with his faithfulness. Like I said, it doesn't matter what I say. What matters is what the Bible says. So this is going to feel a little bit like a sword drill. You're going to be flipping through the Bible, different points. But I would encourage each of you to look together at what God's Word says about his faithfulness. Psalm 40, verse 10. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declined thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. David is telling us that he has advertised the goodness of God to the people of Israel. And that's our job here on this earth, is to advertise the goodness of God to the people we live among. Our next passage is beautiful to contemplate. It's Psalm 89, verses 5 through 7. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. As his children, we are to maintain a certain reverence for God, that it could be called fear, but basically it is a reverence. We need to fear God about everything else because of what he can do. And yet, he is to be glorified by all of us, for his great care for us is unimaginable. In Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." There is no time when God is not watching over us and caring for us. There is no time, day or night, when God is not watching over us and caring for us and meeting the needs we have. When we wake in the morning, we should be thanking God for another day to serve him in. When we retire at night, we should be thanking him for all that he has brought us through that day and providing that we provided everything we have had need of. Now, I know after you've sat on a bus all day long, you may be a little uncomfortable that night, but you can still thank God for getting you that far safely. As we go through this life, there are times when God has to deal with his errant child, and he brings a problem into the child's life that is more than the child can handle. And we might call out to God for his mercy in dealing with the problem that he has brought into our life because of rebellious behavior on our part. He is prepared to provide mercy in his time of chastening. Psalm 119, 75 and 76 tell us, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that thou art faithful, and your faithfulness has afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant." There's a lot of beautiful, beautiful verses in the Bible dealing with God's faithfulness. Even when he chastens his child, that's you and me, he will not permit us to remain in our sin. No, he will call us to a field of service to remove us from our sin. Psalm 119:90 says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." If you feel that you can get away with sin, and in fact, you can get away with sin, then God is not your heavenly Father. Let me say that again. If you feel that you can get away with sin, and in fact, God permits you to get away with sin, then God is not your heavenly Father. Because when we sin, just like our children, when they sin, as loving parents, we do what is necessary to correct the situation, and God does the same thing with us. If we come to a point where God seems to be unfaithful, then we're not one of his children. We are in the wrong place to be within the lack of correction on the part of God. There are people who say, who are out of the will of God unintentionally, they don't operate where God is working. If a person is in a place where God can't bless, then they are serving the devil and not God. Eventually, God will take them out of their way. You know, we all do have an enemy, the devil. There are certain people that the devil watches over a little closer than others. If our life is not making a difference for God, then we're not going to be bothered by the devil very much. We saw an example of that this morning. when that program would not play. Folks, that is not unusual. I have seen that over and over and over. It has happened to me. Everything works perfectly, and you get out to the site where you're going to present the program, nothing happens. It is not an accident. We do have an enemy, and he does the same thing to you and I. He does. In our life, we might make plans for God, and the devil is going to do everything he can to disrupt those plans. And usually he's successful. That's the awful part of it. Usually he's successful. Now we've been looking at the noun faithfulness. Let's change the word from a noun to a verb and look at faithful. Now we're looking at one of God's attributes. Deuteronomy, and I don't have the verse. Covenant and mercy with them that love him, and God will covenant and show mercy with them that love him, his commandments to 1,000 generations. This attribute is unchanging, and God will always be that way, no matter the circumstances. God is going to be faithful no matter where you are. No matter what you're doing, God is going to be faithful. Everything that he permits to come into your life is part of his faithfulness. That deals with, and Jimmy will notice the verse, Romans 8:28. That verse is such a fantastic verse. And all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, many of you are on the internet. You have various programs and things that you need to show a username. And then you have to provide a password. Romans 8:28 is a good password and easy to remember. And I have used it and used it and used it. Genesis 3:16 is also a good password. Use the Bible to come up with your passwords. Genesis 3:16 is where God covered the first sin. Genesis 3:16. So there are many times and many ways where God is faithful to us, even though we may not think so. When we permit God to be a father to us, that changes everything. Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. One thing that will always be true is that God will never be unfaithful to any of us. If we come to a point where God seems unfaithful, then we are not one of his children, or we are in the wrong place within the place where we are in a place where he cannot bless us. There are people who stay out of the will of God unintentionally. They don't operate where God is working. If a person is in a place where God can't bless, then they are serving the devil and not God. If a person is in a place where God cannot bless, then they are serving the devil and not God. They don't operate where God is working. If a person is in a place where God can't bless, then they are serving the devil and not God. Eventually, God will take them out of this way. We've been looking at the noun. Let's turn to Psalms and look at a few verses that deal with God being faithful to those who are faithful to God in return. Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24. O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And I hope tonight you're hoping in the Lord for everything, every part of your life. Now I know that I've preached that we are not to be proud of our own actions, but it's okay to be proud of what the Lord has done. We can be proud of what God is doing in our lives. We can be proud of what God is doing in other people's lives. That is not self-pride of our own actions, but pride in what Jesus or God has done. And we can all be proud of the fact that God has preserved Coastal Shores Baptist Church for his ministry. We can be proud of that, and we're not doing anything sinful. As we support missionaries in various parts of the world, we can be proud of how God is working through us to support those servants and be the fruit that God is producing through them. Marnie talked about many people that she has led to the Lord there in Cameroon. And every one of those souls will thank you when you get to heaven and see them. Every one of them will. So let's look at another passage. In this verse, God is speaking about the faithful. Psalm 101:6. The Psalms are nothing but praise for God. Psalm 101:6, it says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." That's the Lord talking about his children, and you're one of them. God is looking for someone to spend time with him. When God talks about a perfect man, he's not talking about a man without sin. Think about David. He was an adulterer, a murderer, a poor father, but he was also a man after God's own heart. Wouldn't that be fantastic to be a person after God's own heart? You don't have to be perfect to do so. In this world, David was not perfect, but spiritually, in God's sight, he was everything that God wanted. You can be the same. David wrote many of the Psalms. They're in God's Word. God's Word is perfect. He used David to create perfectness. This is indicated by the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13:10 says, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And this is talking about the Word of God being complete. Once the Word was complete, the signs of the Spirit would pretty much go away. This will be the last passage in the Old Testament. Psalm 119, 137 and 38. "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Everything that God does is faithful because God is holy. He can do no wrong. When people get angry with God, they are demonstrating that they are not in the family of God nor in fellowship with him. So now let's go to the New Testament and look at some of these words. Let's look at what's been told us in the age of grace. Now we are looking at the result of being faithful to the Lord. Up to this point, we've been looking primarily at God's being faithful to us. And now we're looking at our being faithful to God. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Jesus seemed to indicate that our being faithful is going to be rewarded, not necessarily here, but in one particular place or the other. It will be rewarded here or in heaven when we get to be with God. 2 Corinthians 4:2 tells us, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If we're going to be God's servant, we're going to have to be faithful. So many of God's servants have gotten to the place of service and have considered it too hard and left the field and quit on God, never to be used again. Let me tell you and share with you, I have known people who have gone to the field, excited about serving God, wanting to do what they feel like they were called to, and they get there and they find it hard. They find it to be challenging. They find it that there's not people praising them for what they're doing, they're being criticized. And they turn around and walk away. They come home. They quit. Don't be a quitter. No matter what, do not be a quitter on God. He has given you something to do. Every one of us. And don't be a quitter on Him. Keep going, no matter what. No matter what kind of a challenge, don't be a quitter. Stewards must be found faithful. And you, each one of you, is a servant of God. We have to be found faithful. And we cannot be a quitter. That is not faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we are told, There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Every time a temptation comes into our life, God provides an escape hatch. Instead of the word exit over the door, it's escape. He always gives us a door to go through that will get us away from that temptation. God is faithful. He will not tempt you more than you are able to stand it, but will with that temptation make a way of escape. We see here that we have to have God's faith to be a part of our life if we're going to escape those kinds of situations. He does that so that we can overcome the daily temptations. And I hope that you understand that God wants to make you faithful for Him. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be successful at everything you do. And if you go in His strength, you will be. We're not only human, and we tend to sin against our faithful God, but God wants to make us all faithful to Him if we will let Him do that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. God wants us to be faithful, and that we will let the Holy Spirit lead us, to the place where we can be faithful. We can't be faithful in many places. So let the Spirit lead you to your day through your day-to-day activities. There are day-to-day activities that are not in God's plan for you. And so each morning, he talked about earlier faithfulness in the morning, faithfulness at night. In the morning, pray for God to lead you to the place he wants you to serve. The Apostle Paul requested prayer from his church for himself and for themselves. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3 tells us, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." This old world that we live in is a wicked place, and without a faithful God to keep us from evil, we will perish in the corruption of the world. We've got to remember that. The world is a wicked place without God on our side. Without God looking out for us, we will perish in the corruption of this world. Now, we each have a job to do that involves one another. We are told about it in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 22 to 24. One of these verses you know because I've used it several times. But let's look at the whole passage, these three verses. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." We're here to provoke each other unto good works. The job that we all have is to provoke one another to love each other. We are not here to create problems for each other. If there is something that I can do to help you love someone in this church, let me know, and I'll try. If there's someone that you are having trouble loving, try praying for them. Take them before the Lord. Invest your time in their lives. It may give you a different perspective of those people. The message is a little shorter tonight. I was busy all week. But I would like each one of you to think about what we can do to show each other our love. It was good to be on this trip. There were several other groups with us. And as we were traveling, there was a difference that could be seen between our group and these other groups. We were bonded. We were one group. We were not fragmented. We were doing what God had called us to do. And I trust that you saw that in the lives of some of these people. Some of them did not, I don't believe, know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But they were on this trip to see the Ark, something to do, something to see the Creation Museum, not knowing or understanding what it was all about. You had an understanding. I heard some of you say, as you walked through the Creation Museum, especially the beginning part, as you were walking down the trail and you saw the serpent and Adam and Eve and in the pool and the various. Well, I know all of this. I've read it in the Bible. And that was a good testimony. But this was still good to be able to visualize what God is doing and what he is placing in our lives. So Let's continue to serve him the best we can in all the ways we can, and he will take care of us and use us to be his witnesses. Father, thank you for giving us this time together. Thank you for the fellowship we enjoyed this past week. And Father, as we start a new week, new enterprises, new experiences, we would ask that your will be done in each of our lives. Father, do not let us stray out of your will, but keep us in the center of thy perfect will. Keep us faithful to thee, and help us to see your faithfulness in our lives as you provide all the things that we have need of. We ask now that you will go with us and that you will use each one of us to accomplish your will in this next week, and we will bless you and praise you for all the things that you do, because we ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.